Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Ilona Europa, Accent on LA Talk Radio, Accent on London edition. So today is our Monday, and this is the time that we are all in a studio, all in our home studios, all in our recording home studios, and we have very, very, very special guests with us. I know that a lot of people who are watching Facebook, Accent on a Facebook, and people who are listening to Accent on LA Talk Radio live, they know our guests. Because Chrissy Lomax and Joe Primo, they are not only my friends, but they are friends of the show. So, you know, there are shows that we are talking about music, about songwriting, about easy, breezy topics in life. But today, Chrissy, we'll be talking about something very serious, very important, very happy, and just, I know that people will love the topic of the show, because I think February 2nd, you are releasing your book. Very important book for you. So I think you're a great speaker. You were my co-host for many shows when I was moving from Los Angeles to London, and you had your own topic about cancer. And I think you are really able to tell us everything and start the show by yourself. Joe Primo, of course, I need to also say hi to you. And I hope people remember that you are the partner, the husband of many, many years. You are also a wonderful musician and engineer, studio engineer. And we know both of you maybe for 18 years right now. And the place that you are in is a very wonderful, wonderful creative place. It's your own studio. So we were recording them this many, many times. So I think, and Stewie, please.
And Stewie.
That's our big star. Sometimes I was calling him my boyfriend because he liked me so much, and he liked my ring, which I don't have on my
fingers. He likes rings.
But he was going right after to my rings. But I love him, and he's the most musical bird ever. You know, he can sing, he can move, he can tap. It's just, I love you people. I love you all. So today, yeah, this is a serious topic, but it's really the most beautiful topic and very encouraging and very happy day for us. Chrissy, take it from here.
Well, thank you so much, Ilona, and thank you for this opportunity to be able to talk about a book that I wrote. I can't believe I'm saying that. But yes, I wrote a book, and I do have it here. And it is called Another Interruption. I think you had pictures of it.
Yes.
And I'm excited. The launch of the book is on February 2nd, along with the launch of our next CD, my next CD that we both worked on, of the same title, Another Interruption. And it's about my journey through HER2-new positive breast cancer. And I made it. So I thought I wanted to share with everybody how I did it.
Another interruption. That's what it felt like. Cancer didn't care what my plans were in 2017, but it also didn't know who it was dealing with. Breast cancer wasn't even on my radar. It's not in my family. Besides, I thought I paid my dues years ago when a car crash nearly ended my life. The jaws of life cut me out of the back seat of that car. That was my first interruption. Another Interruption is the story about how the life I lived before cancer helped me beat it. I pulled from all of my life experiences, all of my jobs and careers to help me make it through the tunnels of treatment and recovery. As a songwriter, I know the healing powers of music. As a marathon coach, I know how to get to a finish line. Let me help you get to your finish line. You can take steps to prevent or beat cancer, or you can help someone who is journeying through it.
Don't tell me I can't walk again. Don't tell me I
Yes, right now it's so easy to say, oh, I'm releasing my book, it's on February 2nd, but the journey was very petrifying, was pretty scary journey for you. That all this happened almost 3 years ago right now, yes?
Yes, yes.
So your book, I of course read your book. I love your book. I'm your friend, so naturally I thought I will love everything what you write. But, you know, and I will also say it's not easy for me to read still in English. You know, I am slow a reader. I need to just think about this. I couldn't put your book down. Even when you are my friend, I really, really finished your book probably in 4 days.
Wow.
This is pretty long book. It's like 300 pages or 300 something pages. And I was talking to my daughter, Natasha, you need to read this book. I know she has no time, but she will. You need to read this book.
Yes.
This is a book about cancer, but really is not about cancer. It's about your journey, your life, your winning this big battle, and also story of the very, very ambitious, full of life woman with entrepreneur, with so many businesses going in and out, and always looking for another beautiful opportunity, and loving life, creating songs, creating albums, creating life your way, being personal trainer. You are just a woman of so many, you know, ideas how to live life with. So I thought, oh, if this will be a book about cancer, how I will see Chrissy through this book. Oh my gosh, Chrissy, you are who you are in this book. You are the person that I want to everybody to know as
Thank
a human being.
Thank you so much. That's a lot of really amazing things to say.
Because your book is about cancer, but really cancer is almost like secondary. Your life is above the cancer, the way how you go about life and about fighting your obstacles in life. You are giving readers so many wonderful advices, again, not only about cancers, about how you are dealing with really unusual situations in our life. So enough of me talking. I would love you to tell us a little bit. When you open your book and you started writing and you had nothing in front of you,
yes,
that was probably the scariest thing, because how to start? Start from the negative or start just from the beginning and let people to know you, which that was great, great. Let people know you first. So please tell us, you just open the page and you start writing. How did this all came about?
Well, I've been a writer my whole life. Poetry, writing songs, always writing stories. When I was not even 10 years old, I remember writing my first cookbook. I mean, I think I still have it in one of my boxes, but and just writing books. I always wanted to write a book. So it was always kind of there. And I did write other books that are kind of sitting there, you know, never went anywhere, but I got a lot of emotion out when I write. And I think it's very healing to write, whether you write to send a letter or write a song, write a poem, write a grocery list, or just write something to somebody that they never see and you throw it out. Getting it out of your body, right, by writing it is the best way for me. I always write everything down. So as soon as this journey happened for us, and I say us because it is a family diagnosis. When somebody is diagnosed with cancer, it's the family diagnosis. And Joe and I went through everything from day one together when that happened in the summer of 2017. I just went for my regular mammogram and wasn't really thinking much about it because there's no breast cancer in my family. So it's not, you know, it's just something I always did because I followed through with my annual women's wellness exam and then all the appointments that follow that for tests and blood work and everything, and went for the mammogram. And that was on a Friday, and Monday morning, 8 a.m., the phone rang. And when I saw who it was on the phone, I just knew. And as I say in the book, I stared at the phone for the first three rings. I knew the answering service was going to pick up on four, so I didn't have much time, and I did. I grabbed it at the last second, and then our journey began. We kept it to ourselves at first, the first bit, because I don't know, there was something about talking about it. We didn't want to give it any energy, you know, and let's go get these second exams done and scans and mammograms and ultrasounds, and then we'll see what they say. And if they see you have to go for biopsies, then we'll take it from there. It's a long process from day one of them finding anything in a mammogram. It was actually, I think, 21 days before the treatment actually began. So it's a long process and a series of events that happen before you do get that call that you, hey, you do have cancer. And when you get the call, of course, you can't believe it. This isn't me. Is this really happening? But so when I was able to start to talk about it, it happened after we went up for the biopsies, which was, I believe, 7 days from the time they said, you better get biopsies. And once we got the biopsies done, something was lifted from me, and I was able to tell the family, this is what's going on. I may and I may not have cancer, but we'll know once we get these tests back. So I did that in the form of a family group email. And I was just pouring everything out, telling everyone, and it was really easy to write everything that was going on with me. And you were the recipient of the friends email that I sent out to keep you all updated on what I was going through as well. So you could see, I was, pardon?
You kept a record of it.
Yeah, I kind of was letting it all out and keeping a calendar of everything that was happening to me when it was happening to me. And I have such a great memory as well. So I was remembering every detail of every examination and every appointment and everywhere I went and the weather and what I wore. And So I just had a lot of fun, if you can say, while I was going into cancer treatment, writing it all out. It was really healing for me to verbalize it in that way and share it. And with our family being all over, most of our family is in Ontario, Canada, all over the province. My sister lives in Hong Kong. My niece lives in London, England. So everybody is really spread out. So this was a way for me to also have everybody sitting beside me. Yeah. And it felt like everyone was with me going through it. They knew how I was feeling, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And sometimes, as it says on the book, the funny as hell. So that's when I decided I can write this. What happened? I know. To get back to your original question, I could talk, right? I was getting responses back from my friends like you and my family saying, you know, this is really helpful. I had no idea this is what happens. Oh, gee, I didn't know. Now this is going to help me with my friend that's going through this as well at the same time. So I was finding that from me writing these newsletters to my family and to my friends and my circle, everybody was finding benefit in it. Not only were they able to understand what I was going through, because people are afraid to phone or ask, hey, how's your cancer?
Absolutely.
You know, nobody wants to bother
you. You know, when I was receiving your emails with your letters and updates, and obviously I had a, in a way, right sometimes to knock to your door, to your home, and just be with you.
You did, and you would bring me great Polish.
Yes, so, you know, I was in this position of really and knowing you and knowing your energy before and after and seeing you to be weak, seeing you to be scared and strong. The same with Joe, because, oh my gosh, you both are like intertwined together as a one, even when it's two of you, so many years together, and just amazing marriage. So watching you both, and it was really heartbreaking because, like you said, you ask yourself, why me? I was asking, why them? Why it happened to them? And when I was receiving your emails and then later we were talking that book is in the making, I was thinking, probably you put your beautiful emails, letters together, and you will release as a in this form as a book. So when I took the book, not in my hands, in front of my nose on the computer, because you sent it to me to read, I was so surprised that you decided to really write about your life story. I think if you would not do that, we will never meet. We'll never meet Chrissy, how Chrissy is, and your marriage, and your really life, and we'll never go inside of your head, because you in this book, you are coming and going in the story of your life from the very young girl. And we still didn't mention that you lost your mom to cancer. You'll be talking about that too. You were talking about something horrible that happened to you when you were so young, and just you were beginning your music career, and you were gorgeous and ready to perform and tour and stuff like that. And car accidents happened, which you will talk to us about that too. So not like your life was like easy, breezy. I was gorgeous. I had a great voice. So, hey, you know, and then later you met this amazing a gentleman in Canada, and you got married. So your life was not like this, you know. So when I was reading the in and out, because you were going to the cancer situation that you were escaping, and you were going to your life stories, which kept me going. I knew, I think, 70% of these life stories because we know each other for so long. But when I read them, and I know you, I saw you, and then I went a little bit with you, oh, to your cancer, to both of your cancer battle, I just said to Natasha, she is so truthful, so honest, and she represents herself so right that she's friend of all of us. Not only people who went through cancer, who God forbid they will come into cancer, but people who just want to see the strength of woman. Woman's strength, you know? So I just loved this part because I know it's very hard to be strong for everybody and for yourself. And in the moment that you're still a teacher in you, because you love to teach, you love to train, you are always teaching yourself. And now you have this important message that you need to send. So you could really focus completely on cancer, but you deliver amazing, beautiful book for people to enjoy. That cancer is like guest, that we don't like it so much. But eventually we start even in a way liking, because it didn't overtake your life. The cancer just appeared. You just try to embrace the worst and the bestest of what brought, because had some good, you mentioned some good part of you getting cancer too, you know, and then you just send this cancer away, and we are hoping forever. And I think that's the most uplifting part of the book, you know. You knew somehow how to do that. So everybody who listens to us, please, please go to Amazon.com and purchase book that is called Another Interruption, that is written by Chrissy Lomax. Please buy, not only for the reason that this is book about fighting a cancer. This is a book that all of us will enjoy it, the strength of the woman, okay? And so I would like to congratulate you on achieving this.
That's wonderful to hear. Thank you so much, Ilona. And yes, and I think we're all interrupted in our lives all the time, you know, and it's annoying, isn't it, sometimes?
Tell us a little bit about your life, because in this book, obviously, we don't want people to know everything. They need to go and read. But in a way, we need to give them a little points, what's happened in your life, the few interruptions that were the toughest ones.
I had a first interruption, and that was a really big interruption that I was in the backseat of a car that almost took my life. I was performing on the road for, and it was around Christmas. I came home for Christmas. I had been home for a few months working at my dad's company, you know, doing some fill-in work, right? And getting a ride home, and then I spent the next 4 years recovering from getting into that backseat of that car. But in the end, it really was something I used to help others, what I managed to recover from. I was hurt pretty bad. The full recovery did take up to 4 years. I had multiple skull fractures. And when my skull was fractured over here and over here, Of course, they had to shave my hair off, which was very long. They shaved that off, so I was bald, but I was a lot younger, so it was much easier to pull it off. And I lost my vision because my brain was swollen, so my vision kind of wasn't really there, or my memory. And so the neurosurgeon that actually helped fix my skull said I lost my marbles. That's what he said. I've got a little part in the book there. I was thinking of reading about that. But I had internal injuries and all my ribs on my right were broken and it punctured this right lung and the left lung thought, oh, we're not needed. So it collapsed and internal injuries and the spleen was ruptured. And so it was pretty bad. And then they told my family she may never walk again. Yeah. So I'm glad it happened to me and not like to my sister or somebody else. I'd rather be the one to go through this.
God, like they say, gives us something that if we cannot take care of.
Yes.
I know your story, like I say, and the interruptions in life that you had, they are really strong ones. They're big ones. They're like earthquakes, you know. But somehow, from this beautiful soul, fragile soul, you are coming out like the butterfly. You know, just you are flying and moving. You just, it seems like, I know it's not easy, but seems like you can agree with the situation that you are in and you are trying the best that you can with your build up this way too, that you are you are a fighter. So somehow you are overcoming the situations in life. But like I mentioned, you are a songwriter. So you are writing songs. You are writing about situation that happened to you. And one of these beautiful songs that I know and I played on my radio show and I loved it is called Fragile. So I think we need to play this song. Obviously, your husband, Joe Primo, was an engineer. He was recording and song is beautiful. I'm sure people will love. So let's look at Chrissy Pictures and just listen to her song, Fragile.
Thank you.
I'm very fragile right now. I'm very tangled and lost and confused. Very fragile right now. I find it hard to keep myself amused. I don't understand how you can leave me out in the storm when I most needed your hand. With my spirit torn, couldn't believe you were so intertwined with yourself not to notice me calling your name. I'm very fragile right now. I'm very tangled up in my own blues. I'm very fragile right now. I feel I don't have much left I can lose. You tell me how you can keep swimming in water infested with creatures that tear at your armor and never forget to breathe in all your positive energies floating on top of the waves. And they're fragile. Very tangled up in what I choose. I'm very fragile right now. I find it hard to decide what to use. I don't think you don't think I'm as sensitive as I am scared to go on with the fear. I'm not sure I can. Nobody thinks I could ever be shy or embarrassed or lacking the strength that I need. But I'm very fragile right now. I'm very fragile right now, now.
Thank you for this song, Chrissy. A fragile, beautiful, beautiful ballad and strong ballad. I mentioned that you lost Mama to the cancer too. She was pretty young when this happened. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, yes. When I was recovering from the car accident for all that time, my mom took care of me. And, you know, I couldn't see good. She took care of me. She cooked for me. She read the paper for me. She ran my baths. I mean, I was in my 20s, but I was recovering, learning to walk again and get my marbles back and just healing. And it was 3 years after that, all of a sudden, I was doing that for her. And at 41, she was diagnosed with colon cancer. And it was very short. It was only 9 weeks after her diagnosis that she was gone. And I've had more of my life without her than I've had with her. And so colon cancer was always on the back, oh, better keep getting that colonoscopy. And I would always keep going for that. And mammogram, it was just one of those things you had to do, you know. It was never on my mind. But it was when I wrote this book, which is now, you know, when I wrote this section, it was 35 years ago that my mom left us. And I wrote this section. I'd like to read this in the book, a little bit about how all of a sudden what I went through with my mother's diagnosis became present for me. For 35 years, I have thought about the day that I was in that little hospital room holding my mother's tiny hand, waiting. A doctor we had never met before came into the room and stood in front of us, hugging his clipboard. My mom looked up at him and asked, "How long do I have, doctor?" The doctor matter-of-factly said, "Could be 3 weeks, could be 3 months, we just don't know." It wasn't very long after that day she left us. My mom's journey was only 9 weeks long after she was diagnosed. Those 9 weeks were very uncomfortable and at times very painful for her. Her organs were filled with cancerous tumors, and she was also recovering from surgery. Those aliens were inside of her having a war, and they were winning. She didn't have the strength or energy to do anything from her bucket list. At 41, I don't even think she had one. She didn't have the resources to travel the world and experience everything possible before she died. My mother never even went to Hawaii. She was in bed, waiting. And now, here I was, sitting in a little room with my husband holding my hand and meeting a doctor for the first time. 35 years ago seemed so present.
Yes. Yes, that's what I'm saying. Please, people, just reach out and purchase this book. Go to Amazon. This is amazing life story book. Beautiful, beautiful written. And Chrissy will be your friend forever and will be friend for many, many people who fight cancer. And they need this book so, so much. So thanks. We are going back, of course, to 30 years later, yes, you are doing your life your way. When people will be reading your book, they will find out about you so much, about your passions, about
yeah. I know, I'm just so honest in
it. So beautiful, because they will learn all about you. And then, boom, this is the Friday, you know, and you are receiving the horrible news. And you had hesitation how to deal with this. Obviously, you were heartbroken and petrified and scared, but then you put yourself together like you always do, and with Joe on your side, and you are so organized. Everything is just written, and you knew that you need to be organized. You need to remember everything, that you need to take a second opinion, that you need to talk to people. When people will be reading this book, they will be learning how you went about that. You had the courage to ask, you had the courage to not be happy with certain decision and move left or right, because you felt what is right for you. And you, like I said, you did it your own way. You fought your own way, the cancer. You had an amazing group of doctors, amazing. Yes. And again, not like you were picking them by hand. Somehow, somewhere, angels gave it to you, the bestest of the best, what can be offered to you. So that was in your favor. But still, going through the process of chemo and radiation and medications and living life and just being a wife and being having family over and stuff like that, you are writing about that. And then you write even second part of the book, which is completely different from your first part of the book. So please, can you tell us a little bit construction of the book? You
have Yes. Well, when I did decide to, I have to write a book because this is helping people that I'm emailing my stories to. So that's that inspiration of, I have to do this because it's going to help others. Because when I was diagnosed, I started looking for books to read to help me get through this as well. And my take, everybody has a different journey. Everybody has different ideas. And so maybe my ideas will be able to help somebody out there. And if I can make a difference to even one person, that's great. You know, that's exactly what I'm going for here, to help somebody. So when I started writing, I just started from day one, everything that was going on for me. And I just wrote, and I wrote honest. And I will tell you, it's been a little uncomfortable for me the last couple of weeks, knowing that all this is going to be out there now, me, everything. I wrote it honestly, though, that this is how I saw people, how I felt, how people made me feel, what I experienced, what it felt like, all those things. I put it in there, honestly, without having to worry about what people think of me, because that's not going to serve me in any way. So once I started to get that part of my journey written out, I thought, you know what? There's a second part to this book. I'm talking about my life story and all of my life experiences that I have now used to help me get through this cancer treatment for a whole year. As a marathon coach, going through treatment was like the biggest marathon of my life. I had to plan. I had to prepare. I had to get everything I needed to keep myself healthy. I had to have a good attitude. I have to look at all the silver linings every day. I had to make sure I just only looked ahead at the next mile, at the next day, at the next treatment, at the next exam. I had to break it down and only take it one day at a time, which was so important to remain present. And part two of the book, so that's part one, is this is my life. This is what I did. I didn't even mention some of the jobs I've had. I mean, at one point I was a undercover private investigator for the Ontario Provincial Police. I didn't even, there's all kinds of things that I didn't add. But then part two of the book is called Chrissy's Cancer-Free Life. And that's how I did it. You know, I'm not a doctor. I'm a fitness professional. I'm a Pilates instructor. I'm a marathon coach. I'm a songwriter. I'm a hobby chef, you know, and I'm a great daydreamer too. And I just broke down part two of the book into three sections. I had to fuel my body, because as an athlete, that's the most important thing, is to fuel your body properly. So as a patient going through cancer, I had to fuel my body properly. Mm-hmm. Let my doctors deal with the poisoning and the fighting. Let me work on the nourishing and the fueling of my body. So the first section is all about that. And some of my recipes that I made up are in there as well. And the way I ate to live a sugar-free, cancer-free lifestyle and how important it is. And everything I learned along the way in that section. And then the second part in part two of the book, Chrissy's Cancer-Free Life, is the move section. And as a fitness professional, I know exercise and the value of exercise for our emotional well-being as well as our physical well-being. So I wrote about all that, and I actually listed out all of my exercises that I managed to do as well. And then the third part of Chrissy's Cancer-Free Life and part two of the book is called Nurture. And that is everything I did to make me feel good. And I don't think that anything I did was super special, but everything I did made me feel special, and I think really promoted the healing of my body and got me to where I am today, cancer-free, a pathologic complete response patient, which means I'm in total 100% remission. And I think if I'm that, maybe something I did made a difference to me to get to where I am today. And I want to share with everybody what that was. So the nurture section is about going for acupuncture and meditation and all those self healing things that you can do, and writing, and redecorating, even things like that. Redecorating. I wanted a whole new fresh. Oh,
poor Joe, I cannot even imagine with all of this crazy.
You said,
I don't like the color of the walls. I don't like my beddings. I don't like this. And
everything.
What the perfect husband is doing. So, okay, yes, ma'am, we will do anything that you want to just make you feel good. And this beautiful place that you are living in is really, really beautiful, really improved, and is very bright and happy, and just, yes, that's how you want it. That's for sure.
I'll tell you, it happens when you're laying there in bed and thinking about all the things you want to do and looking around and, oh, you just want to change everything. And as soon as I had the energy, and it was right after my year of treatment, boom, boom, we went right into action and redecorated.
Now, I think this is the best time moment to just play another song of yours, which obviously Joe Primo was a big part as a probably an also arranger and engineer, is called I Can.
If I could talk about that first, because I did write this song, I Can, years ago, after my first interruption, the car accident. And it wasn't right away after the car accident. It took me some time to process and get it back. You know, I wrote this song, I Can, about that. And when I was going through this, another interruption, that song suddenly really rang true for me again, because I wanted to only think about the positives, and I was going to make it through this, and I had to figure out, what am I going to do to make it through this the best I can? I can do this, and I don't care what anybody says. I can make it through this. So I rewrote the third verse to complement my second interruption. And that's kind of where this song came from. And all the background vocals and everything I always heard in my imagination with this song are finally now in this recording. So thank you.
We will be listening right now to the song that is called I Can. And I know that people trust you and believe in you, that if you can, we probably can too. So let's listen to the song.
Thank you, Alona.
Hi, Joe. You are married to Chrissy for many, many years. You both are a really happy couple. And I can tell that I know you 18 years. But tell us, did you learn something more about Chrissy, about your wife, in a time that she was fighting cancer? This was your both fight, but really she was the one feeling bad, sick.
Yeah.
Scared. You were scared with her. Did you learn something new about your wife, or you just believed, like in the song I Can, that she is the person that will beat this?
Yeah, well, as she states in the book, she prepared herself for this second interruption by what she did all her life, you know, just how she ran her life and how she organized her life, and prepared herself for it in her nutrition specialist accreditation and as a Pilates teacher and as a marathon coach. All those things helped her when she had to face what she had to face. And so I knew going into this that even my friend Jimmy, and I say this in the foreword, he said cancer doesn't know who it's fighting against here. You know, they got another thing coming. And I believe that as well, even in the beginning. And so I always had this feeling that she was going to beat this, just because I had confidence in our oncology team, and I had confidence in her as well as a person. I knew she would rise up to it. And even the very first days we were organizing, and that was all her business acumen, all the things that she learned along the way, how to stay organized. When she was doing Team Believe, her marathon team, she was doing the work of a whole team, really. You know, and she was doing all herself, from all the organizing that had to be done. When you're trying to corral 30 to 40 people, it can, you know, be a bit of a chore. But, you know, all those things she learned, she applied to how to organize and set up herself properly for all this information that was going to come our way from the oncology team, and how to process all this.
Yeah.
You know, lay it all up.
Yeah, you knew that, I know. And you were supportive even more than through all the years of marriage. You needed, and you saw her suffering so much. But in the moment of this many, I don't know how many, more than a year and a half, I think, all this process, yes, from receiving the bad news to knowing that you are cancer-free, you, Joe, you also didn't feel well. There were moments that you forgot about your own health. And in the time, the worst time in life that could happen, then you're supposed to be the strongest, the take care of the almost all what she couldn't. Now your health went down to heal. Can you tell us a little bit what's happened to you in this time?
Yeah, well, you know, I think it was a lot of the stress that affected me. And, you know, I had found out through this, I had a mild heart condition, but maybe the stress attributed to that, but luckily she was here to support me as well. It was an amazing relationship, how it worked together, but we helped each other through it. We needed each other. You know, when we got married in 89, we got married and literally 2 months later moved down to California. So we were used to our whole life being alone together. And I think that played a part into how we could rely on each other.
Yeah. But you know, that's what I'm saying. When you think you have one thing to fight, boom, another thing comes from the part that you don't expect. And now you both need to be strong for each other. And you did, you know, so I'm so, so happy for both of you.
I looked at the cancer journey as my job. You know, I realized going into about the second week of preparing for my first day of chemotherapy. And I'm saying it was 21 days. And it was like, holy, can we just get this show on the road? I don't want this cancer inside of me. Let's get it. You know, so it was a long wait, but they have to prepare your body. It's quite an assault your body takes for a long time. I looked at it as a job. This is my new job. So then when he went, had this thing going on and the heart monitor, I'm like, what's going on with you? It's like, that was my part-time job. So I was pretty busy.
And I know that also in the same time, Joe, you lost your father, yes?
Yes, yeah. Dad passed away, is it a year and a half ago now?
Yeah. So everybody with me who listens and watches the show say, oh my gosh, what else this couple went through? And not only you lost your father, you decided to fly to Canada. Yes, for funeral. And I don't know where you took the power when you had this power in you and both of you, because just come on, you have one fight and now you're fighting another fight and now you have daddy passing. Just so much to handle. And not saying that Chrissy is a singer-songwriter. So with all of that she's going through, she still thinks about music.
Yes, because it's healing. The healing powers of music is real. And Fragile, the song you played first, I recorded those vocals raw in my bare feet, in my nightgown, and a bald head, no wig, in our little studio here. And it was just, it was very hard to sing those vocals. But we did get those vocals out during treatment.
But now I'm talking also about you, that the song that we thought maybe we need to end our show with the song that we will play video for. And I know so many people on Facebook love this video, love this song. And this is maybe a little bit later, but now we have the COVID time. Yes, you are feeling good. You both are feeling good. Seems like all the wars is behind you. And you have this energy, the positive energy. World closed, shut down, and you decided to create a song that I want, you know, people right now to not only listen, to watch them, people who don't know, we are on a Facebook, so everybody who is listening to our Accent on Electric Radio Live, please go to Facebook. Please go to Chrissy Lomax's Facebook page or to Accent on Facebook page or to Ilona Europa Facebook page and watch and listen to this amazing song. It's called When the World Shut Down. Can you tell us a little bit about this song?
I just knew I had to, you know, when the world shut down last March, I mean, I'm sure everybody else thought, well, this is going to be a couple weeks. We're great. We get a little holiday, you know? I love staying home too, because I just, you know, we can write music and record in your home. And I had no idea. And then when July rolled around, it was bugging me from March till about July. I've got to write a song about this. I've got to write a song because this is how I'm going to get it out. I've got to write a song about this. So I finally, I said to Joe, just everything just changed when the world shut down. You know, I started teaching Pilates on Skype and Zoom and everything changed. And then it just kept, that sounded musical to me, when the world shut down. And it had that rhythm to it, when the world shut down, and Joe and I talked about it, and before you know it, we had this song come together, and we reached out to our friends all over the world, including you and your talented daughter Natasha, who you are both great singers, and I love your voices on it. The texture is beautiful on there. You guys threw your vocals on in the video. Neil, who plays most of the guitars in Fragile, the first song. Neil's been playing music with us. He's one of our longest time friends. And he also plays in Fleetwood Mac. So we're very honored that he gives us time and still plays on my music. And so he jumped in and he did his thing because fortunately we were all home. We were all stuck at home. And then Sandy Horn, my girlfriend from Canada, she's a rock star in Canada, known as one of the best bass players in Canada, best rock bass players, and great singers in a band called The Spoons with Gordon Deppy. And she was home too, because they were home. It was bizarre. We were all just stuck at home. And she was running the bass and background vocals.
So I think this is the time right now to listen to this song. And people who can watch us, please go to Facebook, find us everywhere, and let's... Yes, let's
get out of your chair and dance. Get out of your chair and dance. Time to get moving.
This is the song When the World Shut Down.
When the world shut down, we didn't know how many days we'd have
was back then. Cause we know that many hearts that will never go home again. When the world shut down, we opened the door to learn something new, to love others more. When the world shut down, we learned how to breathe and opened our eyes to struggling we see. Slow down, take some time.
Thank you, Chrissy, and thank you, Joe, for this great, great song, When the World Shut Down. But now I think we need to close our show with the biggest announcement. Chrissy, tell us one more time, date of your book release, and just talk a little bit about your CD so people can purchase both, book and CD. What date?
February 2nd, 2021, and it's commemorative to my mother, because she left us February 5th. So the book and the CD, also on February 2nd, the CD of the same name, Another Interruption. It's an 8-song CD. Those 3 songs you played are on it. And yeah, so that's going to launch on February 2nd. I'm very excited and nervous and all at the same time.
And meantime, everybody goes to Chrissy Lomax's Facebook.
Yes,
talk to you if they want to know more and they have some questions. I think you can start discussion also there. But for today, Chrissy Lomax and Joe Primo, I love you so, so much. Good luck with your book. And talk to you soon when you will be on top of Amazon charts, okay? That's what we want to get you. Please, people, this is a really great book. So let's go and bye.
Thank you, Ilona. I love you.
Thank you, Ilona. Awesome.
Bye.
You're listening to Accent On with Ilona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.